Marty Lurie here, KMBR 680. We do the whole weekend, Bob. This is what we do, pre and post on the weekend on KMBR 680. But you're here as a San Francisco Giant, and you have a very interesting position, which I'm thrilled to hear about. But I think the fans would like to know a little bit about the baseball background. We remember you well as a pitcher coming in. And take us back, just growing up for you in baseball. How did it all happen for you?
Well, New Hampshire, New England guy, and went to Rutgers University first, dropped out, went home, worked at a birdseed factory, went back to school in Florida, got drafted in the 19th round by the Yankees, got a $7,000 signing bonus, and off I went, through the Yankee farm system, and two surgeries, seven demotions, a trade, a release, didn't get my first full season in the big leagues till I was 30, but ended up winning 110 games, and I still can't believe that it happened. But if someone had told me when I was 15 that what my life would be like through baseball, I wouldn't have believed them. So it's been pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a great story. I always say if you look at people's lives in 15-year increments, you'll say, "What? You did what?"
Right.
And I think that's part of life. But Birdseed Factory, I can't let that go by. Fans heard it. Go ahead.
Duncraft Birdseed, Penacook, New Hampshire, one of the largest birdseed mailing things. Well, I was homesick and I dropped out and lived with my mom and had to find a job, and I worked at a birdseed factory.
Okay, all right.
But that's not the. I was a janitor. One off season, I worked from 3 to 11, so I could get my workouts in during the day. I worked at a clothing store called Mickey Finn's. It was clothing and sneakers. I sold shoes to Og Mandino, who wrote The Greatest Salesman in the World. He's an author. And I sold him a pair of shoes. So there's a lot of things. Yeah, you want me to keep going?
I don't know. I find it interesting because you have a very interesting job. But I always say when you find where people came from, and that tells you why they do the job they do today and what they bring to the table. So I think it's pretty interesting. But you and Brian Sabin crossed paths early on, too.
Yeah, I mean, Brian's from the same hometown, and Joe LaFay, and Steve Balboni is from Manchester, and Mike Flanagan, and Mike LaValliere, and there's a lot of people from New Hampshire that got into big leagues, so we all stick together, a close group.
Yeah, Mike Flanagan is a good friend of mine. I enjoyed him very much and lost him. Bob Tewksbury with us. A little bit of your major league career, though, because you were a crafty pitcher. You were a guy who understood the art of pitching. How did you learn the art of pitching?
Lots of trial and error. I just was a student of the game. I'd watch video. I used to chart the game of the week with Joe Garagiola and Ted Kubek. I would read books. I'd throw rocks at trees. I would just make up my own games and then just really worked hard at perfecting what I did so that I could, have command that I had because I needed to, because I didn't throw very hard. It was always great to come to San Francisco and play the Giants. It was, I love pitching at Candlestick because I figured the hitters didn't like hitting because it was too cold. But I'm thrilled to be part of the organization now and really look forward to trying to get, now we can start a run of odd year championships.
Yeah, really. All right, Bob Tewksbury with us. Well, we'll leave your baseball career with this one. Maybe your favorite season, just so fans can get an idea of maybe your favorite season in the big leagues.
I think, my best season was 1992. I made the National League All-Star team. I was 16-5, finished third in the Cy Young Award voting, and just had, my career year. I love playing in St. Louis for Joe Torre, and they have a great organization as well, and that was probably my favorite personal year, but from a team standpoint, it was probably in 96 playing with the Padres, playing for Boch. Tim Flannery was there. He's a tremendous baseball guy, and we lost in the playoffs, but that, from a team standpoint, that was the most fun I ever had playing for a purpose, and and winning. It's a lot of fun. Winning is fun.
Winning is good. We like winning. Very good. Bob Tewksbury, nice to have him with us. Your degree, what did you major in college? Because now you obviously, we're going to get to your very important position now.
I went to school and studied physical education, and I went back and finished my degree after I stopped playing, 18 years later. And then I went and got a master's in sports psychology and counseling from Boston University in 2004. So I've been doing this work since 2004.
Yeah, well, this is where we want to get, because it's a very interesting part, and it's a very necessary part of the world today with the kind of players we have. I think it's very important. But you started with the Red Sox doing it, and how did that all come about? Did you seek the position? Did they create it?
They created it. They actually, after I got my degree, they asked me to start the program, so I started in the minor leagues, and I was in the minor leagues for most of the time from 04 through up through 2011, and then I started to come to the big leagues a little bit more, and then I was there in 2013 when we won the World Championship, so that was really fun. So I had no idea what I was going to do getting into this. Just kind of happened, and it's been a great second career.
Yeah, very good. All right. I was a criminal trial defense lawyer for 25 years, so this is my second career, too, so I can appreciate it. Bob Tewksbury with us. All right, what is the goal? Now, you're here with the Giants, and this is your first year with the Giants. If you have fans listening and say, all right, Bob, what do you do? What's the goal? How do you approach it? How do you answer that?
Just here as a resource, just like the hitting coach, Rags and Bam Bam and anyone else that's here to help the players play better, specifically with anything from the mental side, confidence, concentration, relaxation. It's just the ups and downs of being a baseball player. So my role is to be a resource for all players, like I said, I'm thrilled to be here. It's a great organization with really good young players, and hopefully I can be of some help.
Yeah, you have to be in touch with the player of today, and of course you started years ago. Has the player changed over the years that you can see?
Everything's changed. The internet's changed. I think the player really hasn't. The game has changed. I'm not a big fan of video replay and all that stuff, and so there's some things that I'm not a big fan of. But I understand it based on technology and advances that we have. I think the player out on the field is still the same. They know the game is hard. The game is challenging. That you have to be good all the time to succeed or deal with failure. That stuff hasn't changed. But I think how the kids get to the big leagues now, with used to be you develop your talent with pickup games out in the yard, and now they're structured AAU programs, and they have hitting coaches and pitching coaches and strength coaches, and so it's much more specialized. And when they get here, I think they're probably better athletes for it, especially from the conditioning standpoint. But I also feel like it can become a little robotical because they're kind of doing the same thing they've always done, and now it's just at the big league level. So I think we have to embrace the changes that have happened, like them or not. But the player, the human player himself, Joe Torre said that we can't remember that this game has a heartbeat, and everyone's heart beats the same, and stuff outside of that on the away from the game may be different, but on the field performance and challenges are still the same.
Boy, very well said. But it's interesting to hear you put that into words. The biggest challenge you may have dealing with your job, what's the biggest challenge?
Well, any position like this is just gaining trust of players and confidence that, the challenges are always gaining the trust of the player, helping helping the players so that players can be the kind of be your own marketing person. You know, oh, you should go talk to Tuke. So that's always the best thing. And just not going too fast. I think that a lot of people new to the field jump in and really want to try to help people quickly. And I think that through years of trial and error, it takes time. And it could be 4 months before I talk to a player, but I've got to be ready when that time comes. So really, you know, watching the games when I'm not with the team, I'll be watching the games. I'll be talking to Gresh. I'll be very much have a pulse of the team. And so when I see the team, I'll have a good idea what's going on and then just be available as needed.
Yeah. Is there a continuing education for you in this? I know as a lawyer we had the continuing education.
That's a good question. There's a not formally. I think that, you know, I'm always trying to learn things to help better myself. I'm a member of the Applied Association of Sports Psychologists. There's a position called a certified consultant. I'm one of those members of that group, and there's recertification that'll happen in 2 more years, so there'll be curriculum and stuff to do. But not having a doctorate, you know, I don't have those same criteria to keeping my license or thing like that. So I just have I tell people I have 2 PhDs in pitching and a master's in psychology.
So. Well, you earned both of them, I will tell you that. And both of them, I know you're very serious about your job as you were as a player. Just as a joke to end the conversation, is it 45 minutes? You say our time is up now? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, actually, I think we went over by about 42 minutes.
No, I'm talking about the session with the client.
Oh, the end. I thought you meant this interview.
No. This is fun. This is
4 minutes, Marty. It's been 12. I don't have a couch in my office, and I don't keep minutes. And you know, sometimes the quickest interventions could be 30 seconds on the field. So you just never know what words you can say that will make an impact or when they'll happen.
Good.
But yeah, this session's over, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Our time is up, Bob. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Marty. Take care.
More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.